St. Soter and Caius, pray for us. You may be seated. Children, today we have the feast day of two ancient popes of early Rome, and there's a very special epistle that's only read once a year on their feast day in the old Mass of the popes, and I thought that I would read it to you. In those days, this is from the last book of the Bible, that's the book of the Apocalypse. After these things, I, John, heard as it were the voice of many multitudes in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and power is to our God. For true and just are his judgments, who hath judged the great harlot, which corrupted the earth with her fornication, and hath revenged the blood of his servants at her hands. And again they said, Alleluia, and her smoke ascendeth forever and ever, and the 24 ancients and the 4 living creatures fell down and adored God that sitteth upon the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Give praise to our God, all ye his servants, and all you that fear him, great and little. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of great thunders, saying, Alleluia. For the Lord our God, the Almighty, hath reigned. Let us be glad and rejoice and give glory to him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath prepared herself. And it is granted to her that she should clothe herself with white, with fine linen, glittering white. For the fine linen are the justifications of the saints. And he said to me, Write, blessed are they that are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Let us be glad and rejoice and give glory to him. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Well, every time we celebrate the feast day of saints, children, we are glad and we rejoice, but especially at Easter season, because our Lord has risen from the dead, and it is a season of 40 days of great rejoicing and happiness. Saint Soter is our first Pope saint today, and he lived in the 2nd century, and he succeeded the saint whose feast day was on Monday, Pope Saint Anicetus. And he made rules for the reverence of the liturgy. He said that only men or boys could be a thurifer at Mass, and that women should not touch the chalice or the sacred linens, except, of course, sometimes the church gives them special permission to do so if they are the sacristans. And then about 100 years later, St. Caius was the pope, and he was a relative of the emperor whose name was Diocletian, and he was a wicked emperor who persecuted the church terribly. Well, it was Pope St. Caius who said, in order to ordain a seminarian, a priest, there should be the 4 minor orders and the 3 major orders, 7 steps that lead to the altar, which we true Catholics still follow today. And for a long time he had to hide, I think it was in a cave outside of the city, because of the persecutions. And he gave an interesting explanation. He said, you know, our Lord doesn't give the grace of martyrdom to everybody. Some have to be what's called confessors. A confessor is someone who believes strongly in our Lord and in the faith, but doesn't die as a martyr. And others, he said, will receive the grace of martyrdom. So, if you're just a confessor, he said, you can stay outside the city, and if you want to be a martyr, if God wants you to be a martyr, well, then you would go into the city. But sometimes people think, would I have the strength to be able to suffer all of that? Well, yes, you would, and you would be able to do so even joyfully, because God would give you the strength if that is his will. Only we mustn't tempt God, and God has to show us his will, that he wants us to suffer that way. One of the other saints whom we had today was a young man, I think he was a teenager probably, and his name is Saint Elpidius. Elpidius, Elpidius, two P's. And he was a good friend with another saint, and his name was Alexander, and they were friends since they were boys, and they encouraged each other for the faith, and they hid out for a while. They lived in France. They stayed in a little tiny, like a little hamlet of a few houses, but the soldiers found them, and Elpidius, because he was the younger of the two, was put on trial, and he was tortured. And the pagan judge tried to get him to go along with paganism and give up his Catholic faith. And he said, "Look," he said, "you're a young man. Why should you worship this old Jew? He's a crucified criminal." That's what he said against our blessed Lord. That would be a sin of blasphemy. And he said, "Be a pagan. Enjoy life. Have a good time. Have fun. Worship our gods. You don't have to fast and pray and worry about being pure and modest. No, come along with us." And he absolutely refused to. He said, "No sense even talking to me about those things. I confess that Christ is God, along with God the Father and God the Holy Ghost. I'm not losing my life. I'm changing it for a better life." And he was so joyful that everyone who watched the execution never forgot, because he knew he was going to heaven. And that's the reason for his joy. Sometimes, children, because of our crosses, sometimes it could be illness, or it could be problems or worries or the weather, whatever it might be. Sometimes we forget that we should be joyful. We should always be joyful in our Lord. What's a good way to remind ourselves to be joyful? Why, put a smile on your face. Try to have more smiles than you have frowns. Why shouldn't we be joyful if we're the friends of Jesus and Mary and have sanctifying grace in our soul? Be glad and rejoice. That's what the epistle today says. Now, there's another saint today who had an extraordinary experience of joyfulness at the moment of his birth. He was one of the early Franciscans, and his name is Blessed Francis of Fabriano. And they say, you know how when a baby is born, it's important for the baby to cry to clear out its lungs. Babies have to cry. That's the first thing. But when he was born, he didn't cry. He laughed. And that's how he cleared out his lungs. And for the rest of his life, he was a most joyful saint. He was always struck about that. He's an interesting saint. Even though he was a Franciscan and couldn't own anything because of poverty, he loved books very much. He loved to read, as I hope all of you do love to read, because that's the best way to get a good education and to use the talents the good Lord has given you, and also to lead a good life, because you read about the saints and you read about great men and women, and you can imitate them in your lives by reading. It opens many doors. Well, the Franciscans were very poor, and they weren't supposed to own anything, but he was the first one to get permission to have a library of books that everyone could go in and read and study and consult, because you really do need a library if you're going to be a student. So if you're going to have any possessions, to have some good books in your home or in your room, that's a very good idea. He was so joyful, he got another friend, a relative of his nephew, to join the Franciscans too, just by his good example. And the other interesting thing about this saint we have today, Blessed Francis of Fabriano, is that he loved the poor souls, and he was very devoted to them. And very often he would say Mass very fervently, the Requiem Mass, for the poor souls in purgatory. He wanted them to go to heaven so they could rejoice with God there forever. Well, we all have our trials, and sometimes we have our crosses and our challenges, but we have our faith, we have sanctifying grace, we have all the saints in heaven as our friends. When we pray, and especially when we go to Mass, we remember those things, children, and that is why we can obey what our Lord tells us today. Be glad and rejoice. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.